This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 12th at 10:34 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Super Bowl halftime performances will go back to just things only very casual football fans care about. You know, I usually do the dishes during the Super Bowl halftime show. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who hated everything Bad Bunny had to sing, even though they couldn't understand a word of it. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, a brewing rivalry between two of Ohio's top Republicans. But first, the big issue of the 2026 campaign likely will be affordability. The affordability of groceries, the affordability of health care, the affordability of housing. Candidates are falling all over themselves trying to tell us how they're going to help us make more money and help us save money. A big piece of the housing affordability equation is property taxes. Because of rapidly rising property values the past 10 years and voters' willingness to pass levies, property taxes have increased sharply. The median Ohio property tax bill has jumped about 25% in recent years to stand at just more than $3,000 a year. Obviously, many homeowners pay a lot more than that. Others pay a little less. The Tax Foundation says Ohio has the eighth highest effective property tax rate in the country. With each revaluation notice, with each new property tax bill, politicians hear from their angry constituents. Some of those constituents say their lawmakers have not done enough to control property taxes, so they want to go to the voters. The group Citizens for Property Tax Reform is collecting signatures to put a proposed state constitutional amendment on the ballot. If it gets on November's ballot and it passes, it would eliminate property taxes in the state of Ohio. State and local government officials say that would be devastating to local schools and local services. Right now, property taxes generate $24 billion a year. $24 billion a year. That's more than is collected through the state's income and sales taxes combined. Joining us this week on Snollygoster is one of the leaders of the group, Beth Blackmar. She is the media director for the group Citizens for Property Tax Reform. Beth, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
You know, before we get into the proposed amendments and your campaign, tell us how you got to be involved in this.
I got my bill.
Your tax bill.
I got my bill. Yeah, I got my property tax bill. Well, what I got was, it wasn't a bill. It was the revaluation in 2024 in Cuyahoga County. And I tell you, I almost threw it in the garbage. I was going through my mail and I stand over the recycle bin when I'm going through my mail. And I tossed, and I tossed, and I looked, and I'm like, you know what? That says value something on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking for a value. So I'm like, I would pull that out. And I looked at it, I'm like, holy cow, that's my revaluation for Cuyahoga County.
How much did it go up?
And I almost hit the floor. It went up 51.9%. It went from 188,000 to 299,000. Mm-hmm. Now, I live in Lakewood, Ohio, right outside of Cleveland. I have a little two-bedroom bungalow on a postage stamp, a century home. It hasn't been updated other than the electric and the roof and those kinds of things. But I still have plaster walls and all the original windows and everything. Yeah, so I panicked and literally almost hit the floor. Because I knew, I did the quick math, and I'm like, this is going
to
hurt.
You were stunned by what your tax bill was going to be, and you got involved in this effort to try to do something about it, which I guess is the definition of a grassroots campaign, and that's what you say your campaign is. So let's go start with the name of the group. It says, your name of the group is Citizens for Property Tax Reform. But if your amendment passes, property taxes would disappear. Shouldn't your group be called Citizens for the End of Property Taxes?
Well, we didn't start with that. You know, we didn't start with that. When we started this back in 2024, actually this group, the beginnings of this group goes back further. maybe, you know, a few years further back, mm-hmm. it was Save Our Seniors, SOS, because seniors get hit particularly hard with property taxes and what's going on with the property tax rates. But when I started calling around, trying to figure out what to do about this increase in valuation, this 51.9% increase in valuation, I saw an ad on Facebook or a post on Facebook for SOS, Save Our Seniors, property tax, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I got involved because I showed up to their meeting.
So you were looking to reform it first, and then what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. We were looking to reform it. We thought, you know, the idea was that there's power in numbers, right? That we could talk to the legislature, and you know, if we bring enough people forward to fight this thing and to try and get some reforms, why, you know, that'll make a difference. Well, we talked to legislators, and they were like, yeah, yep, we're on board with this. We've got this going and that going. And nothing ever made it to the floor. There were, I don't know, like 40 pieces of legislation that just collected dust. They didn't do anything. At the end of 2024, there was I think it was HB 187, that would have given some relief to people on homestead with the homestead exemption and I think veterans and spouses of veterans. I mean, it was a very, just the minimal, like throw us a bone. And do you know, they didn't do it. They didn't get it to the governor's desk. What they did instead was they did a bathroom bill that nobody cared about. And they did the $600 million to the Haslams.
So the bathroom bill, just to clarify, was the restrictions on transgender people using public bathrooms. And then the $600 million was the use of unclaimed funds to help build the Browns' new domed stadium.
Correct. And if you ask, I mean, I've talked at this point to thousands of people on this. And, you know, I asked over and over again, would you have rather had a bill on property tax or a bill on the bathroom bill or the bathroom bill that they passed? And over and over again, it was, I could care less about the bathrooms. I need them to do something that really is going to help me. I need something done about my property taxes.
So you decided to go big or go home. Let's get rid of them all.
I did. We did. I mean, this was decided amongst, there's a group of five people. They're called the Committee to Abolish Property Taxes. And they're the ones, that's what happened. I mean, nothing was going to happen in Columbus. We know this. I mean, we were done with that. They were not going to do anything without maximum pressure, right?
Yeah.
So the idea was formed that, you know, let's do a petition. And of course, you know, there's several ways you could do that. But the simplest, most straightforward way to do it ultimately was to eliminate property taxes altogether, because anything else could have been challenged six ways to Sunday.
So the
best way to do this was to put forth, you know, it was decided amongst them. And I disagreed at first. I'm like, hey, well, you know, why don't we do a Prop 13, so on and so forth.
Yeah, limit However, taxes. Yeah.
You know, I saw the wisdom in it.
So and, the bottom line is, yeah. If this were to pass, $24 mm-hmm. billion would disappear overnight. What would you suggest the government do to make up for that money?
Okay, so the sky is not going to fall. There are several other mechanisms that they can use. You know, should this amendment pass, state legislature, it's up to the state legislature to do their job, you know, and enable townships, EMS, fire departments, libraries to collect funding by other methods. You know, there's school district income taxes, there's sales tax, sin taxes, all of these things can be used, and even as far as direct billing. Now, you know, I'll take a bill. I mean, like I do for trash and water, and you know, send me a bill.
With all of those things, that's a lot of money. Let's talk about the efficiency of that first. If you try to piece this all together with other bills and other taxes, doesn't that make it more complicated and more perhaps unfair to folks who aren't making as much money?
I don't know how you get more complicated than the property tax law as it stands.
You have a point there.
I don't know how you can possibly get more complicated than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you've looked at your talk, if you've looked at your property, I've looked at mine. There's like 12 different property taxes on my bill.
Oh my gosh.
You've got a point there. But so basically other taxes, other fees would have to go up if you eliminated the property tax. So for a taxpayer, does it really matter? They're still going to be paying for what they're paying now. It just won't be associated with their property tax bill. It'll be their rubbish fee, or it'll be their income taxes going up, or maybe sales taxes going up, right?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, it makes a huge difference, because right now we don't own our homes. Right now you own your couch, you own your TV, you own your dining room table. You own those things. Now, what if they came back every year and said, you know what, if you bought a couch today, it would be $3,000 instead of the $2,000 you paid. So what we're going to do is we're going to charge you the tax that you would have paid on that $3,000 couch. Right. And if you don't, we're going to take your couch. Here's the thing. We don't own our homes. We do not own our homes. And that is the problem.
If you were to sell your home, now your home has increased in value. You described your home at the start of this podcast. If you were to sell your home today, you would get much more than what you paid for it, right?
Right. And then I could be taxed on it.
So you would propose sort of a Uber sales tax on real estate sales as a better alternative.
Real estate sales or anything else. I mean, you know, a value-added tax, a VAT tax, you know, it could be done any number of ways, right? What I think is unconscionable is people who own their homes, who have spent 30 years paying for them, losing their homes because they can't pay property tax. They were ill, they couldn't pay their property tax. Or, you know, which we can track that. We can look at those numbers. You know, so you don't own your home, because if you don't pay your property tax, the real owner shows up at your door, mm-hmm. right? The other thing is the one hidden demographic is people that pay a mortgage. And let's say you've had that mortgage for 20 years. Your payment was, I'll use this woman as an example because it was so dramatic. She elderly. At 75 years old, she had a mortgage that was $450 a month, bargain at any price. And then they raised the property tax. They raised the valuation on her house. Well, she, I think it was $950 a month she got in Social Security as a widow. Mm-hmm. And she, her monthly payment went up to $750 a month.
Yeah.
She couldn't pay it.
So Governor DeWine says, if this proposal passes, this is what he said this week, Ohio's sales uh-huh. taxes would go from 6% to 20%. And as you know, sales taxes are very regressive. If you own a mansion in suburban Columbus, you pay the same tax on a sofa, to use your furniture metaphor, as someone making, you know, $900 a month in Social Security. Is that a fair way to do it?
Let's do the math, shall we? Because yeah. I did. And I would have saved at a 20% sales tax rate, I would have saved 65% last year. 65% of my property tax bill would have been, I wouldn't have paid it. I would have paid 35% of that. And here's the thing on a regressive tax. It's interesting that people say that. We don't pay tax on food and we don't pay tax on medicine. I don't know what people think poor people are buying, but I'm not rich, okay? Mm-hmm. I've been able to buy a few things for my home, but I never bought a brand new stick of furniture until about 10 years ago. So, you know, to say it's regressive says that people who are not of means are out spending money like crazy, and they're not. They're buying food, they're buying medicine, they're buying the bare necessities, if they're lucky.
How about income taxes? Would you support as a way to get away from property taxes, which you have eloquently pointed out might be unfair, would income taxes, which are graduated to some degree, the more money you make, the more income taxes you pay, is that a more fair way to spread out the tax burden that schools, police departments, fire departments need?
I absolutely think so. Because it's an actual tax. Property tax isn't a tax, it's a penalty. And it's a penalty on money you've never received. I'm paying taxes on money that I never received. I haven't sold my home. I mean, if I have my way, when I leave my home, it'll be feet first. I'm not planning on moving. I have some health problems and I've got stair glides in here and, you know, I'm not moving, not until I have to or pass away.
So you would support you would support municipal income taxes. The Westerville School District, which is just outside of Columbus here, voters in November approved an income tax increase to pay for schools rather than a property tax. Westerville had seen a couple of property tax levies go down to defeat. So they said, let's try something different. Let's try the income tax. And it had some protections for folks on fixed incomes and retirees. And is that something you would support?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that we need to be taxed on what is taxable. And I think we need to own our homes outright. I don't think we should. They should be at risk of foreclosure.
Now, property owners get something for those taxes. I know you argue that the bills are too high and they've gone up too quickly, but you get good schools, which helps your community and also helps the property value of your home if you live in such a community. You get police and fire protection. Your streets get cleared of snow eventually if you live in the city of Columbus. If those schools and services start to decline and property values suffer, does that... You know what I'm saying? Somebody has to pay for these services.
What makes you think that it's going to decline? I mean, if we, you know, here's the thing. We can't just eliminate property tax and hope everything's going to be fine. You know, this has to shift to another form. It has to shift. And there are mechanisms already in the Ohio Revised Code that would allow us to do this in large part.
Speaking of changes in the Ohio Revised Code, the legislature has made a few changes in recent months, prompted by your effort, we're guessing.
Yes.
Has it been enough? Have you been pleased with what you've seen?
No. Okay, so let me break this down. I think you said it best when you said the state gets about $24 billion a year in property tax revenue. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they are proposing with their changes in legislation that, and it sounds great when you don't do the math. Okay. They're saying that over 3 years, they're going to return $2 billion in taxes to the people. $2 billion. Well, in 3 years, they would have accumulated $72 billion in property tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roughly.
If my math is correct, you are correct. And I'm not the best at math, but I think you're right. Yeah.
$2 billion is a drop in the bucket. That's barely better than a sharp stick in the eye. Mm-hmm. You know, $2 billion is nothing. I mean, that's like, you know, I don't know. What am I going to do? I don't want to spend it all in one place.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that I have hope about is that they are making changes, but they are far from good enough.
So
they are far from what we need because, listen, people see that there are people that are getting put out of their homes. And this is something to carefully consider. Senior citizens are the fastest growing demographic of homeless. That's no joke. There's no question. In Ohio, senior citizens are the fastest growing demographic of homeless people. That's the reality.
Your campaign must gather 413,000 signatures, which really means you need to gather roughly double that to make sure you have enough valid signatures to present to the Secretary of State's office. Your deadline is July 1st. How many signatures have you all collected so far?
Well, we're not giving out that number, but I will say this. We've been going gangbusters this last month. I can't even believe it. We've been doing so well. We're doing really well. We need more, but you know, we are doing exceptionally well. In particular this month, I thought it would be one of the worst because of the cold and all of that, but you know, we've been doing really well.
Can you give me a ballpark?
People are really supporting us.
Are you halfway there? Are you a third of the way there?
I don't want to give out a ballpark because here's the thing. You know, it's like with voting. You don't want to, if the votes are too low, you know, if it's not enough, people are going to get discouraged. If it's too much, then they won't be motivated.
The reason why I asked that question is you are a grassroots organization, and there are skeptics at the State House and among the State House, the Capitol Square surroundings, insiders, shall we say, that are skeptical that you'll be able to get on the ballot. How confident are you you'll be able to get on the ballot?
I'm pretty confident. I mean, here's the thing. If we don't make our mark by July 1st, we get to keep collecting. Those signatures are good indefinitely unless you die or move. So, you know, we're not going to stop. I mean, just because we don't get it by July 1st, if we don't, which I think we will, I mean, based on what we're doing this month, holy mackerel, I think we will. But if we don't, then we keep collecting.
Are you using any paid collectors or any paid firms to help you? Most of these campaigns say it's so hard to get on the ballot in Ohio.
I wish. I wish. Here's the thing. This is all volunteer, which is why we're, you know, it's been so kind of, I don't know, I guess you'd say haphazard. It's like it's glued and taped together, our initiative. But, you know, that's the beauty of it, because it is all grassroots. These are all volunteers, including me. All volunteer, because, you know, when you have somebody back this, say, you know, it's not like we haven't gotten offers to back this, get paid circulators, but we have to do it their way, and we have to send their message, because money isn't free. You don't get a bunch of money to back a movement for free.
So this is an expensive endeavor. Passing a constitutional amendment is expensive. Let's take the redistricting campaign from a couple years ago. They spent at least $12 million 2 years ago and lost. If this gets on the ballot, the establishment, the county governments, city governments, state governments, they're going to throw the kitchen sink at this to defeat it. They're going to be able to raise a lot of money. Will you be able to raise money to match them?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do or will do. You know, I'm going to be really thrilled when we make our number of signatures that we need, and then we're going to go from there.
Would you be willing to, now, if you get on the ballot, would you be willing to sit down with lawmakers and come up with a compromise to avoid putting this before voters? It's happened before, where an amendment gets either close to the ballot or on the ballot, and then they sit down with lawmakers and they pass a law or pass an alternative amendment to live up to the name of your group, which is to reform property taxes rather than eliminate it. Is that something your group would be willing to consider?
Well, here's the deal. My thought about this is that they need to compete with this initiative. If they're going to do something and they really want to do something and they really want to make a change, they need to compete with this. They need to get something to the ballot instead of trying to shoot this down, because it's the barn door's open, cows everywhere. Okay. They need to get their stuff together and compete with this. They need to really do something for the citizens of Ohio. You know, it's not my place to negotiate this. These are, you know, there are people that have signed this petition. And that's what they want, and that's what they think should happen. I think we need to do something about, you know, I mean, as I go along here, I'm even more firm in that we should not have a virtual lien on our home forever. I mean, we get to stay in our homes conditionally, that we pay this property tax, and it should not be that. We should have tax on other items, but not things we own that we bought and we paid for.
Beth Blackmar, she is the leader of the group Citizens for Property Tax Reform. Beth, we appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very passionate about this, and we will talk to you again, I am sure.
Okay. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week. This week, we give it to Vice President J.D. Vance and Republican candidate for governor Vivek Ramaswamy. They share it. In a move that State House insiders have noted, it involves the GOP primary fight for state auditor. I know you're all paying very, very, very close attention to this, but stay with me here. J.D. Vance has endorsed former state rep Jay Edwards, and Vivek Ramaswamy has endorsed State Senator Christina Rogner. The insiders smell the first skirmish in a budding rivalry between two potential candidates for president in 2028. And it starts in the Republican primary for state auditor. Inside shrewdness that we will keep an eye on. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Tell your friends about us. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.